I want to know how much in super chats we'd have to raise to have Matt come on the show next week and let everybody throw virtual tomatoes at him. Like, what if he were to join us on the show next week live? No, we don't want that.
I don't want it.
Okay. You don't want it. All right. Well,
I don't want it at all.
Well, you're the co-host of the show. So I guess if you don't want
it, I hate that that's how you started the show, is talking about Matt.
Hey, it's
you said you had some great stuff to tell and share with the fan base, and you're starting it with bringing Matt on this show.
You know, Zach, it takes a minute for folks to get into the room. So that's all I'm doing. Hey, Tiger Talk last night, Alex Golish was on the show. And I'm just going to tell you, all right, whatever you do, avoid listening to the head coach talk. Avoid it. If you're one of these people, you're so out of focus. If you're one of these people who doesn't want to get excited about the season, okay, if you're one of these people like, I'm not getting excited until they win games. And not just one game. I'm not getting excited after Baylor. I'm not getting excited after Southern Miss. Heck, I may not get excited after Vanderbilt. Until he beats Alabama or Georgia, I'm not going to get excited.
Man, I tell you what, people that are like that, that don't like getting excited, they also love telling people that they're not going to be excited. And they also watch multiple daily Auburn shows telling people that they're not going to be excited. Yeah.
Yeah. Very vocal about their posture of not getting excited. So if that's you, please don't listen to what the head coach has to say. He was on Tiger Talk last night, and there were several things that, once again, ignited the hope. It ignited the positivity that I can feel it like rumbling, that toxic positivity, Zach.
Toxic positivity, yeah.
I feel it starting to get activated again. And there was also a little, we saw the Edge again last night for no good reason other than, it's just who he is. The last fan question was about the summertime, the period of time between the end of a day and the start of fall camp. And Alex Golish listed off, 100 things, from meeting with sports psychiatrists in order to set up fall practices based on how people respond psychologically, to the nutritionists and what they're going to eat in the fall, what they're going to eat 4 or 5 months from now. Okay. And then at the end, he said, if you're waiting on me to say hit the golf course, that's not coming.
Was that a shot, or was that just a general, like, coaches golf in the off season? If you had to guess,
what do you think? With what little you know about Alex Golish to this point, what do you think?
I want it to be a shot, but I'm not sure. Like, would he do that?
Man, we just whipped that. Would he do that? Would he run the score up on somebody that beat them badly the year before and then give him a quick handshake at the 50?
But him doing that is the reason he has this job.
Okay. You're asking, would he do that? Now, did he come, like, did he say, I tell you what I'm going to do. Y'all watch this. I'm going to do this tonight on the show. No. But the opportunity was there. There was no reason for that add-on at the end. None.
It would be nuclear if he somehow made, like, a hot tub joke. Like, let's go back.
Yeah.
To a former AD.
Oh.
And the former coach even before the former coach.
Yeah. Yeah. If you make hot tub and golf jokes. Now, look, and I know he's still got to back it up. Stephen Pearl made a comment about we're not going to say we're close, and he did that in November. And so on and so forth. But, man.
And since then, he kind of has said that they were close.
Yeah. Actually. But so, I get there's caveats to it, but that I couldn't help but smile at that last night. Intended or unintended? I happen to lean toward probably intended reasonably, but even if not intended, that's objectively funny. Here's something else he said that was encouraging.
Yeah. Okay.
He said he put they went through a mock practice with the team this week. A mock spring. Is that normal? Is everybody else doing mock practice? Because you can have classroom time with them before actual on-field time. But they don't want to waste a minute with this group. Are mock practices normal? Or are they just so prepared for every detail?
I don't know if they're normal. I've certainly never heard of that before, at least at Auburn. Does it happen in other – do other coaches do it? I'm sure Alex Skolich isn't the first person to do it. But, I mean, I talked to a lot of players on last year's roster, and a lot of them hit me up after a lot of practices and meetings, and that's not something that ever came up, a mock practice.
Yeah. So again, nobody's hanging banners or getting rings for anything that happens in March.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying they are, but objectively, like you gotta try not to get excited. You have to try. You have to put in effort to not be excited when you hear how closely they are paying attention to details. He also talked about hosting 27 and 28 players this week. So not only are they preparing for spring, but they can also host recruits, and they're working on those class of 28 guys in the running early for top corners and top quarterbacks and top receivers and just dudes, and meeting coaches, letting the high school coaches know who they are. So I don't know. I think every time you hear the head coach speak, it's easy to get more and more excited.
When he got here, he talked about like how hard of a worker he was. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, like that's good, especially when, you know, it seemed like the previous coach kind of mailed it in a little bit towards the end there. He's backing that up, man. Gosh, he's backing that up. And so much of this all boils back down to something I've said about him consistently, is he has a plan, and he's executing that plan every second of every day. And that seems to trickle down.
Yeah.
I was talking to, you know, some support staff guys, not on-field coach, not even members of the coaching staff, but just people that work with the football team. And they were like, yeah, the expectation of what we do seems to go high. I mean, he has high expectations for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just, I mean, we talk about culture. We throw around the C word. That's what it is. If you work for Auburn football now, the expectation for you to do your job well is higher than it was last year. That's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're, you know, cleaning the floors. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, helping people on the training table. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If it has to do with Auburn football, it has to be the absolute best, or it's not good enough for Alex Skolich.
Yeah. New sheriff in town, new expectations. That's it. And not a lot of time for foolery either. I give this other very small example. First, let's what?
Daryl. I think this is actually Daryl.
Daryl is contributing a super chat because I posted that I ran a 5K on my social media. My punishment.
I called him the day after we did that show about like you ran a 5K or a half marathon and didn't post about it. And he's like, thanks for calling me out. Thanks. And I'm like, we weren't calling you out. I was just kind of poking Brad. And this is his response.
That's amazing.
I guess.
That is amazing.
It is, Daryl. That is confirmed. So
that's incredible.
Love you, buddy. Thanks for this. You didn't have to do that.
No. That's an Inception style super chat.
Yeah. Whew. That's so funny. That's so funny.
That's good.
But all props to Daryl for running a 5K as well. That's awesome.
Listen, 5Ks aren't – yeah, a 5K is a serious deal. That's
no, – he did it. He ran it with his daughter. It was kind of a family thing. So that's cool. I mean, we were talking about working out as, like, families and stuff. My wife and I started working out together. Like, that makes it easier. No question about it.
Bo wants to run the 5K with me next year. So he's
going to wake up and say he's sick, and he's going to not do it.
So I shouldn't tell you what yesterday morning was like on the way to school, right?
No. Did he say he was sick on the way to school yesterday?
He said his stomach was hurting. I said, well, why? When did it start? Just about 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes before you got in the car to go to school. All right. I guess we don't need to go do football drills then before school. No, we can still do that. Maybe it'll, you know, maybe I'll. Yeah. All right. Sure.
Bo.
You got 2 days before spring break.
Oh, you know what they're saying about you.
Come on now.
You've got to prove them wrong. And by they, I mean me.
Yeah. You know who wouldn't approve? Alex Golish wouldn't approve of that. Bo wouldn't last 5 minutes with Alex Golish pretending to be sick and such.
That's right.
I tried to make a joke last night. I did make a joke. I didn't just try. I didn't try and fail.
I think you made the wrong joke, if I'm going to be honest with you.
We're talking about somebody asked a question about Cole Best. And I made the joke on the way to break that he actually wanted to be the best Auburn center named Cole ever. And Golish kind of didn't really acknowledge it. And Andy said on the way, hey, we'll explain to you in the break. So we get to break, headset comes off, and I just, you know, hey, because Cole Kublik was center. He goes, oh, yeah, I know. I got it. All right, cool.
So Alex Golish believes in his guy so much, he probably already thinks Cole Best is the best center in Auburn football history named Cole.
Probably.
And he should, Brad. Yeah. He should think that.
Yes, he should. You're right.
I think the better Best, he was Cole Better than, you know, he went through y'all's program and became Cole Best. I think that would have landed better.
Maybe so. Maybe best. So. That's what we'll try next time. Because I want to make him smile or laugh now.
It's not possible.
He's very friendly off air. It's not like he's like a jerk. He's friendly. But when he gets into football, when he gets into business mode, that's what he's there to do. He's not there to joke or cut up or play around.
Yeah, I do think the version we're going to get is different than other folks. There's somebody in my church that came up to me and, you know, we talk pretty regularly and, you know, he's in an industry that involves, you know, conversations with people like when they're moving.
Yeah.
And he was talking about Alex and he's just like, yeah, he's actually pretty laid back. And I'm like, I believe that. I don't think we're going to get that, but I believe you. In your conversation with him, I believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, I wanted to put that out there first.
What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Nava Reptile. Zach bullying Brad's son might be my favorite long-running bit of this show. And Nava, there's a lot of long-running bits on this show. So that says a lot.
Robert saying Matt wouldn't approve either of Bo's stomach things.
No, because he's serious. He takes things seriously.
Matt probably would approve.
All right, moving on.
Basketball. You want to do any of the ones about you being a majestic centaur? You want to skip over those?
We can do one because I saw somebody say, yeah, here's one. Jack's quat. The word that comes to That's mind funny. When I think of Brad Law running is gallivant. See, I have a different word. My word is trudge.
I should have taken a video.
No, you shouldn't have.
I should have taken a video.
No, I'm glad you didn't. And I'll be sure to limit I'll be intentional about my time that I go there so I don't run across you again so that you can't take a video.
I would do the same thing if I were you. Totally get it. Totally get it.
Yeah, it's much more trudging, much less gallivanting, much less gazelle, and much more rhinoceros. I do. I look like a big old rhinoceros just trying to make it the next step on the treadmill.
I think you're selling yourself short, my guy.
I appreciate you saying that. I don't think so. Right. Guys, let us know what you would like to talk about. You have questions going into the weekend. We have basketball. Oh, by the way, basketball at Alabama. Tomorrow night.
Do you have an animal fact today?
No, not yet, but I'll come up with one.
I want to spend one second just because he's been a big part of joy of this show, but wanted to obviously say, you know, rest in peace to Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Yep.
Nothing but respect. Listen, this impression has always been about respect and reverence and not poking fun at someone. I mean, he had a tremendous influence. The newspaper trick, I don't know how he's done it. I've seen him do it in 5 or 6 different places. I don't know how he does it.
Yep. You can't tell the story of college football without him. So, the sport we all love. So, may he rest in peace. Exactly. Thoughts and prayers to his family and loved ones and all the folks close to him. So, Auburn does head to Tuscaloosa tomorrow in a game that really feels like a must win. Is it possible for them to make the tournament if they lose tomorrow? It's possible, but really, really, really tough. So certainly feels like a must win. And we've seen this team get up for these types of games. We've seen the best of Auburn, you know, in a similar situation on the road in Gainesville. Am I predicting that to happen? I'm not. Could it happen? Yes.
Yeah. Multiple games just this year where Auburn was favored, didn't win. Auburn was not favored and did win. This time of year, it's all about momentum. Can you take any momentum from the last game? Can you take momentum from what you did well the first time against Alabama? They held Alabama way below, especially in the first 15 minutes of the game, below their normal number of threes taken. It was statistically, and Steven said this last night on Tiger Talk, like the third best shooting performance of the season for Alabama last time. And they don't have
everybody has high shooting percentage against us this year.
Well, yeah, that's been way too true.
Yeah. That's an us thing.
More the last 3 weeks than before that. Like their numbers weren't that astronomical until the last month.
But which matters more?
I know. I'm just talking about when I'm talking about the first meeting against Alabama. That was before everybody started shooting well. What I'm saying is what they tried to do defensively worked for a good portion of the game. But they had Bediako, so they went inside more.
They're also, I mean, I think Alabama's a better team now than a few weeks ago as well, sadly, unfortunately. But that's just
and William makes that point in the chat. Filon and Holloway have gotten better since game one. They have. Are they the best 1-2 guard combination in the league? Offensively? Not defensively.
Maybe. Offensively.
So huge challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is the same team that won at Florida. This is the same team that dog walked Arkansas. I mean, this is at home. So, and it's the rivalry game. There have been other years too where Auburn went in a pretty heavy underdog in Tuscaloosa and went right down to the wire or flat out beat them. So, I'm kind of excited to see what version of this team comes out. Now, could Alabama hit 21 corner threes and win going away? It's possible.
Could happen.
Could Auburn go out and hit 14 threes? Yeah, it's absolutely possible. Yeah.
For sure.
So.
For sure. Got an animal fact yet?
No, you talk about something and I'll get an animal fact.
All right, Auburn grad dad asks, do you think Byram's stats won't be quite as good because our defense is not going to require them to score as much? I think those things aren't going to have as much in common as we would like. Now, obviously, like if you can keep the offense on the field and keep the defense off the field, Byram will have better stats. But I think, I think Auburn's going to be in some shootouts this year, which is going to be kind of different than what we've seen over the past few seasons. But I think there's going to be several teams that are going to be able to score with us. So maybe that's pessimistic, but I think Auburn's going to actually be able to outscore some people for the first time since Gus Malzahn was here, which is going to be interesting.
We talked a little yesterday about the defense and how who you play matters, but I also – like, I think the offense is going to play faster. Time of possession will be less. So the defense is going to be on the field more. Whether they score or not, they're going to go faster and be off the field faster. So the defense is going to be on the field more. I got an animal fact. Are you ready for an animal fact?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Today's animal fact has to deal with American buffalo herds. Did you know they are both Democratic and a little bit feminist? Democratic and feminist American buffalo herds. Here's what I mean. Only adult females can vote for which way to travel. They indicate their choice by standing up, looking in one direction, and then lying back down. And that determines which way the herd moves.
Who's counting?
Well, I mean, I guess everybody just accepts which way they do it. I don't know how many disagreements there are.
Right.
Are half of the females looking one way and half the other? Is there an alpha female?
Yeah.
That I don't know. I'm not an American buffalo expert.
You sounded like it for just a second there.
I am compelling when I try to be.
You are compelling.
You're right.
100%. You are so compelling. It's ridiculous.
I can be convincing. Yeah. Despite what you may think, I am not an American buffalo expert. And I apologize for the deceptive, compelling nature.
It's okay. Do I feel a little lied to? Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
A little lied to. For anybody who's disappointed, who thought I was just an expert, a natural expert on all things animal facts.
Nava says, I feel like this animal fact had to be given to Brad by Matt. If Zach had suggested something, it would have been way better. And well, I agree. Brad probably does not agree, but I agree with that.
If it had been recorded, it would have been better.
Why is that the case?
I don't know.
Can we start recording them even when you're here?
Yeah, that could be fun. That could be fun. We could just put that on the list for Fridays.
Brett Nunley says there are no American buffaloes. They're called bisons.
Buddy, take it up with countryliving.com, which is the website from which I pulled that animal fact. I'm not here to fight with you about it.
Well, do you know what the buffalo said when he dropped his kid off for college?
Bye, son. I think it about does it for today's show. No, it doesn't. I saw some baseball questions out there.
That's yeah. Somebody wanted to compare to Ike Irish. Is that your question you saw?
Yeah. I mean, Irish had more raw power. Frelick.
No sleeves in Sam's profile picture, by the way.
Never sleeves. Right. We hate sleeves. Matt wears sleeves.
Disgusting.
Frelick, I think, will probably hit for more average. Maybe we'll have fewer strikeouts. Not that Ike had a ton of strikeouts. I mean, Ike was just such a five-tool player.
Yeah.
But I like Frelick's IQ. I think they're similar in terms of their baseball instincts. Strong left-handed bats. Frelick goes the other way with a little more finesse than Ike did. But Ike could go opposite field, too. I love what they've done with the order. And by the way, we're going to talk about this on a brand new Barn Baseball show that will drop at 11 today on this channel. So if you're not subscribe to the Barn Baseball channel on YouTube or this podcast channel if you're not, and get the baseball show too. I love having Frelick hit behind Bristol Carter because Bristol's got nearly a 500 on base percentage. He scored 19 runs. He has 10 stolen bases already. He's going to get in scoring position if he gets on base. And with Frelick hitting behind him, and if he can get to third with Frelick at the plate, the way Carter dances off third down the line forces the defense to draw closer to the bag at third, which opens up the left side of the infield because teams are going to shift with Frelick on the right side. So, and he handles the bat well enough that he can hit it to short. He could bunt to short and get the run home and get on base. And they have to do that, though, because if they don't play him in the shift, if they keep the short at short, well, now he's got all that space on the right side, and he handles the bat well enough to pull it to the right side. The chances of you scoring with Carter and Frelick going back-to-back are almost 50%.
Yeah.
So, and that's really high for baseball, so... we talk a little more about that on the show today. I really like that about Frelick, his ability to deliver with somebody on base, whether he's got to hit it to the right or left side.
Yeah, puts you in a pickle defensively, for sure, because he's got an answer for everything, which is great. Yeah. What do we know about Winthrop? And hopefully by Sunday, we call them Losethrop.
That's right. Yeah. Either my connection or your connection has slowed. So yeah. I heard, what do we know about
Winthrop? And hopefully Winthrop. By Sunday, we call them Losethrop.
It's great. So they have won 8 games in a row. They're 10-2. They beat Georgetown the first 2 games of the year. Then they lost the last one to Georgetown, then lost at NC State. And then they've won 8 in a row since then, including a win over Michigan State this past midweek. Michigan State's 3-8. They're not very good. They can hit. They run a lot. They've already stolen 20-plus bases as a team. So they're one of those teams that's going to try to get on and wreak havoc on the base paths. And their pitching numbers are good. This reminds me of the Florida State game a little bit. Florida State hadn't really played a lot of quality competition until they ran into Auburn and Nebraska back-to-back in Arlington.
Right.
And both won fairly convincingly. So I think this should be another weekend that Auburn takes care of business and gets 2 or 3.
I'm predicting a sweep this weekend, Bradlaugh.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I am too.
Yeah.
I am too.
I'm going to guess Lindsay on the Barn Baseball Show did not. He does not like predicting sweeps.
We didn't pick. We didn't do that prediction. Yeah.
Wow.
Left that off. A pretty cool note about Winthrop, Mikey Bello. Mike Bello is an assistant with Winthrop.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he will be back, and he's coaching first base. So you got Sonny, who coaches first base for Auburn, and then Mike, who coaches first base for Winthrop, a couple of guys on that 22 World Series team. They're going to be coaching first base for their respective clubs this weekend.
Will you bring that up on the radio call tonight?
Yes, we will, okay. As a matter of fact. Jason Caldwell and I will talk about it. I think we're the pass-through, too, so if you're watching the game on SEC+, the radio call will be the audio that you hear.
Oh, I love that. I love it when they do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, Friday and
Sunday. Worry about trying to sync everybody up to, you know, together. It's just done for us. Yep. That's great.
Yeah, tonight and Sunday, that'll be the case.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, anything else before we wrap up? I've got a hard out at 10:30. Yeah. Anything else? If anybody has anything they want us to touch on real quick, put it in the chat. We got a few minutes. Want to make sure we address what everyone wants.
Yeah.
Oh, Brett Nunley responds, I don't like arguing with Bradlaugh. It makes me feel dirty. My intent was to sharpen iron. No. That's just what they told me at Yellowstone.
No, well,
let's
you're
be
right.
Very clear here, Brett. First off, you should feel dirty disagreeing with Bradlaugh.
I was too defensive.
No. He should feel dirty for arguing with you 100%.
No.
And the people at Yellowstone don't know more than Brad about buffaloes. So there's that, too.
Patrick, is there a YouTube link for Tiger Talk? No. War Eagle Plus has it, though. It is on War Eagle Plus. So you can go check it out there.
Great.
We have good stuff next week. We have some good shows coming next week where we discuss where is Jordan Hare among the toughest places to play in college football and spring practice. Expectations, storylines, all that stuff is coming up next week.
Great.
Yeah.
But for now, I think that does it for today's show.
It does. Thanks, everybody, for watching with us live or listening or watching later, however you take it in. Subscribe if you haven't yet. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.